You know, guys, we are a week and a half away from Christmas Eve. You guys realize that? You guys recognize that? And by the way, Cole, great job. I just got to say, that was just the first time, I think. I think we're going to see more of my man, Cole. But I want to talk about and rest in kind of what's already been happening in the room this morning, talking about, you know, we talk about peace that passes understanding, and there's also a joy. The candle that we lit this morning for Advent, there's joy that comes in the waiting. And it's also a joy that sometimes doesn't make sense because it doesn't matter the circumstances. There's a strength and a joy that can come from a source that's not our own. And so I'm going to lean into that this morning. If you would, please stand if you're able. We want to honor the reading of God's word and just make some declarations about ourselves before we begin. Would you say these things with me? We are the assembly of Jesus, built of a diverse group of people to continue the work of Jesus in our neighborhoods, our community, and yes. So we say it this morning, our heart is to worship God with our lives, to assemble as a family and community of Jesus followers, and to share the good news of Jesus as we go. Our key text this morning is from John 1:14. I'll read it. It says, I'm going to read it from the Passion paraphrase. This is what it said. It says, and so the living expression became a man, and he what? He lived among us. We gazed upon his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. So let's pray this aloud together this morning. Give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. So I receive it this morning as a beloved child of God with ears to hear and eyes to see what you will show me. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you do that this morning. I ask that you just break in through all of the noise, through all of the busyness that our culture can bring into this season. And Lord, I ask that we could just be still this morning and know that you are God and that you are good. In your mighty name we pray, amen and amen. So Jim said he was getting real this morning. So if it's okay with, I just want to start with something real this morning too. Is that all right? Something human. Because not every Christmas feels magical, and not every December feels joyful in the way that we use that word sometimes. And sometimes the holidays can collide with real life. And real life doesn't care that it's Christmas. And so there was one year, I've probably shared this before, maybe you were here that Christmas, it was several years ago, back when we were living in, my family was living in a little town of Buxton, North Dakota, 300 people in that town. We actually topped the population. We broke the 300 barrier when we moved into town. But we were coming back for Christmas, and sickness hit our family hard. We were coming back to mom and dad's, living out in Somerset, to be with them for Christmas. And I remember we arrived and then nausea hit almost all of my family, all of my girls. I don't know. There were maybe one of us that were left standing. I became nauseated and the kind where you're just weak and all you can do is just kind of go to bed, right? And so come for the Christmas, which is just a beloved time in our family, come to be with grandpa and grandma and just spent the whole time just so nauseated. I was in the bedroom. I was making way too many trips to the restroom, and it was just rough. It was really, really rough. I could barely crack a smile, much less than kind of get on board with Christmas cheer. Are you feeling me? And so several of my kids were down. It was just one of those Christmases where the body was present, but the heart was just trying. And so then, because life sometimes likes to pile things on. Have you ever experienced that? Sometimes by the time I finally started to feel better, which was the end of the Christmas break, it was time to head back home. And so we made the long trek. It was 520 miles-ish and about an 8-hour drive back to Buxton, North Dakota, just a little bit south of Grand Forks. And we got home only to walk into a disaster. I mean, we had this beautiful, beautiful old home. It was big. It was huge. It was humongous. We had a big family. It was great for us. I walked in, a water pipe had burst in our main level. You know, North Dakota gets a little cold. And a water pipe had burst on one of our main level toilets while we were gone. Then it flooded our entire basement. I mean, the whole thing was just like a swimming pool. Thankfully, it was an unfinished concrete basement, because that you know helped save us some, but it still wasn't good. We walked in, we lost a lot of stuff bad, you know, because we kept a lot of things in storage down there. And not only was it sitting water, because it's Buxton, North Dakota, it was like frozen. It was days and days of cleanup, and because my former spouse was in medical school at the time, you know, it was kind of me. The kids were going back to school, and so I just go down and kind of had to face that basement. I kept on having to come back down and just pull up stuff like memories, photo books, whatever, you know, all the stuff that we lost. And some of it I was chipping away at because it was frozen solid. And so that took its toll on me. I came back after a horrible Christmas. I mean, can I say that? It was just bad. I was sick the whole time. I was nauseous the whole time. I came back from that to that. And can I just say, something broke in me? I came back, and for the first time in my life, I had never experienced anything like it before. I had a panic attack. And here's the part that feels almost embarrassing to admit. It wasn't during the cleanup, because that was a lot. I don't think it was because of the flood. It wasn't about being sick and having no strength from that. I was still, you know, kind of recovering from that. It was over macaroni and cheese. I was making dinner one night, and I don't even remember what triggered it. It wasn't even the good baked macaroni and cheese. It was the box macaroni and cheese. But I remember the feeling. I was sitting there in the kitchen, I was making dinner, and just the overwhelming feeling that I felt was, I don't know how to explain it, overwhelming. Just, it was overwhelmed. And it all came crashing, like the pressure, the loneliness that I felt in that moment. I felt that I don't know if you've ever experienced it, like the whole world was spinning. And I just kind of, I fell to the ground. It was like a movie scene. It fell to the ground, and I was just crying. And the kids, the girls, poor girls, they didn't know what to do. I think one of them called their mother. And I just had the sense that everything had built up and built up and built up. And that simple task of making macaroni and cheese was the thing that broke me. Things have a way of piling up sometimes, don't they? And macaroni and cheese was the thing that did it for me. In that moment, I don't know that I'd ever felt so alone. I felt utterly helpless. I felt like I couldn't make a box of macaroni and cheese. Powerless would be another word to describe the way I felt. And just so done. I was done. Then something beautiful happened. Deanna had made the call to mom and dad, my former spouse. She called mom and dad just to tell them what happened, because, you know, she was in the medical school program and just couldn't be very present. And she basically said, I don't know what to do. And the very next day, mom and dad, Liz and Dennis, some of you know them, got in their car and they drove all the way Buxton, North Dakota, hundreds of miles, just to be with me right after I had visited them and like puked all over their restroom. You know, I mean, I was just sick the whole time. I spent the entire week in their guest bedroom sick. No agenda, no big solutions, no speeches. They just came all that way. You know what they came all that way for? They came simply to be present. Just to be there. To support me. To sit with me in my vulnerability, because can I tell you, that was embarrassing. To help with the cleanup. Of course, Dad went downstairs and helped with the cleanup. But really, more than anything, to remind me that you are not alone. Do you ever need that reminder? Isn't that what we all long for sometimes? Somebody to notice, someone to show up, someone to come all this way, just to be with us in the middle of our mess. This is why the story we're about to watch hits so deeply, because some of us this season are carrying some aches, maybe that we haven't even told anybody about. And some of us are trying to smile through, maybe it's sickness, through pressure, through grief, through disappointment. And some of us are just one macaroni and cheese box away. So we're gonna get ready, we're gonna hit the lights. But into all of that, the heart of Christmas speaks. Love comes close, and love shows up, and love travels all this way. And that's when I want to show you this film today, because it captures that truth. A person pretending to be okay and a burden too heavy to name, and someone who won't let them stay alone. Watch this.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, is now still a good time?
Wait, what?
Didn't you say now would be a good time?
Yeah, it is. Just give me a sec.
Why don't you call me back when you...
No, it's fine.
But you're having a party.
No, it's nothing. It's just I wanted to throw a little Christmas Eve thing for everybody who's, like, staying at home. But it's just a few friends.
Go back to your party.
No, it's fine.
Wait, what are you wearing?
It's my Christmas sweater.
I thought Mom burned that thing.
She tried.
Well, she should try harder.
Hey, now. So, the job?
The city? You're doing well?
Yeah, I am.
But sorry, that means I can't be there.
Don't be sorry. Well, I'm gonna let you go.
Everybody there?
Yeah, it's house full, for sure.
Yeah, I bet.
I love you.
Love you more.
Not impossible.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, you too. See you tomorrow. Coming. Jeez, it's breakfast, not a fire. Sorry, I think I might be a little short of... How are you here right now?
Merry Christmas.
Dad, you flew all the way here in the middle of the night?
It was nothing.
Dad...
So, the job? It fell apart. How long ago? Lauren, how long?
5 or 6 weeks ago.
And you didn't say anything?
I didn't know how to.
Hun, you could have told me.
I just didn't want you to be disappointed in me.
Not possible. But I hope you're not disappointed in this.
Oh my gosh. No way.
Well, I got a flight to catch.
You just got here.
Yeah. Because I felt like you needed me to make you pancakes.
Yeah, I did need pancakes.
Lauren, I think you're gonna be okay.
Dad, I know you didn't have to come. But I'm really glad you did.
Merry Christmas.
In the film, Lauren tries so hard to make everything appear festive and normal, right? She stages a Christmas party that doesn't exist. The music is on and the lights are up and her smile is fixed. But when her dad calls, despite all her efforts to hide the truth, he knows. He hears her voice. He senses the ache behind that mask that she tries to put on. And isn't that like our Heavenly Father? He knows the loneliness that we try to hide. He knows the heavy things that we carry sometimes into December. He knows the grief and the disappointment and the fear and the exhaustion. And since stepping into pastoral ministry and chaplaincy, I can tell you in more ways I've experienced and it's more real than ever before to me. Holidays have a way of just revealing what's kind of going on underneath the surface. Just the week before Thanksgiving, I was doing rounds in one of my cubicle sections. And I was walking from person to person. It's one of my joys. I love to do it and just ask questions. I love to ask questions and check in and see how people are doing. And of course, right before Thanksgiving, I'm asking the holiday questions. Where are you headed? What are you cooking? You know, what traditions do you have? Those kind of questions. And people were sharing stories and about traveling to see family and big meals being prepared and what pies that they were baking. All the things that you would expect around the holidays. Then I got to the last person in kind of this cubicle section. She was a lady that was in the corner. And I knew, because I make rounds every week, I knew her story. Part of her story was her father had passed away just a few weeks prior, and she had been deeply involved in his care, carrying the, you know, the emotional and the physical load of helping him live out his final season at home, and he passed. And I remember sitting with her the week that it happened. I remember, you know, all of that. But before I could even get the full question out of my mouth, she was already in tears. They were streaming down her face. And all she could manage through, I mean, she was shaking, her, she was trembling, and she said, "I'm not doing very well," is what she said. "I'm not doing very well." And can I tell you, just in that moment, you know, I felt that. Right there in the middle of cubicles and spreadsheets and phone calls, you know, her three office workers that were right behind us, the weight of just this real human grief just entered that room. And so what do? I sat there with her in it. I didn't rush. I didn't try to fix anything or say anything. I didn't try to fill the silence with cliches. We just sat there together. And my eyes watered with hers. And I reminded her that she could reach out to anyone in that room, because everybody that was in that room was also with her, and they said, "We are here. You can call us anytime." And I said, and of course, you know, I had my chaplain card. I said, "You can call me anytime. That's what I'm here for. If you need someone to walk alongside you." This week, as I was doing my rounds again, for the second week in a row, she wasn't there. And I'm not privileged to know, you know, what's happening, or that's not my information to be privy to. But here's what I do know. There are so many people carrying things that are far heavier than what their smiles reveal. Loneliness, loss, fatigue, you know, fear, family fractures, financial pressures, grief that doesn't care what season it is. And it's not just out there, it's in here, it's in this room, sitting in these seats. So let me say something that someone in here might need to hear. First thing on your notes, if Christmas has ever felt heavy to you, you're not broken, you're human. Right? You're human. Yes, Christmas is a season of joy, but the people celebrating Christmas are real people with real lives and real emotions. And sometimes joy and sorrow can sit at the same table. And sometimes faith and fatigue can carry the same heart. Yes? Sometimes you want to celebrate and cry at the same time. And that does not mean that something is wrong with you. It means that you're human. It means life has been life. It means your heart is still tender enough to feel. So the story of Christmas isn't for people living, you know, some kind of perfect Instagram lives. The story of Christmas is for people who sit in cubicles and cry because their dad passed away. It's for people who pretend that they're okay when they're actually overwhelmed. It's for people who feel the ache of emptiness in a full room. And it's for people who are doing their best to hold it together and wish somebody would notice. But here's the good news. God notices, and he sees, and he knows, and this is the songs of the season that we sing. He comes near. He comes near, Emmanuel, God with us. And just like Lauren's father in the film, just like my parents driving all that way to be with me in Buxton because I couldn't handle macaroni and cheese, just like Jesus, who came all this way so you would not have to walk through any of that alone. And here's what the Christmas story is. This is what it is. It's God saying, "I see you, I know you, and I'm coming all this way to be with you." And This is John 1:14. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God here with us. This is the heart of Christmas. This is the incarnation, the moment that heaven just kind of stepped into humanity. God didn't just send a message. He didn't send a prophet this time. He came himself. He didn't, you know, shout encouragement from a distance. He put on flesh. He entered our world. He stepped into our skin and our limitations and our cold nights. In our tears. The Greek phrase here literally means he pitched his tent among us. As in, God moved into the neighborhood. Why? Here's the thing, because presence is the point. Presence is the point. Love closes the distance. Love travels all this way. Jesus didn't come to show us what God is like from afar. He came to show us what God is like up close. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? And so before you even admit the need, before you stop pretending, before you cleaned up anything, he was already coming. He's already coming your direction. Just like Lauren's father. In the film, God doesn't need you to fix or clean up the scene before he gets there or pretend everything is okay. He sees the truth and he hears the truth behind the voice, behind the smile, and he moves towards you anyways. I can remember being so embarrassed when my parents, you know, came all that way, when the world was crashing around me in Buxton. I had never experienced anything like that before, and I just felt so foolish. But what they did that weekend, it spoke so loudly to me. It wasn't with a lot of words. You know what it was? It was their presence more than anything. I wasn't alone. They knew that I needed help. I wasn't functioning well. And I needed a reset, and I needed a boost. And mom, you know, coming to spend time caring for Zion. Zion was just an infant at that time. I slept in a little extra. That meant a lot. And dad doing what dad always did, fixing up whatever he did. I mean, all over the house. He was just fixing the whole house. Cleaning up that slop in the basement, the slush. And that spoke more than words could ever tell. They didn't have to do it. It was a sacrifice to just pick up their lives and head there at the phone call. But they came all that way. I just want to pause here and just let this settle for a second. When God came to us in Jesus, he didn't choose a palace or prestige or influence or comfort, right? He chose a manger and a feeding trough, a stable, a teenage mother, a silent night in a forgotten town. He didn't meet humanity at our highest point. He met us at our lowest. Why? Because God wanted to make sure we know that there is no place that you can go. No depth of pain or loneliness, no valley, no grief, no hospital room, no flood-damaged basement. No broken holiday season where he cannot say, I am here right now. Amen. Jesus didn't come to remove the human experience. He came to step fully into it. Amen. That's how far God goes to be with us. And don't forget that God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He always has been. And on your notes, God has a history of coming close to broken people. This isn't new behavior for God. This is who he's always been. Hagar, alone in the desert, abandoned and afraid. God appears and she names him the God who sees us, right? Elijah, he's hiding under a broom tree, begging to die. God meets him in a whisper, not in the earthquake or the fire. Mary, can you imagine Mary at the tomb? Grieving, confused, right? Probably feeling hopeless. Can you imagine that? Jesus comes and speaks one word. He says, Mary. And then her name, her heart, their story, and he's right there with her. The disciples, they're hiding in fear behind locked doors, and Jesus walks through the wall. What does he say? Peace. Peace be with you. And guess what? The Prince of Peace was in the room. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, God consistently closes the distance between himself and hurting people. So he has always come all this way, and he still does. So as a chaplain, I often use this verse, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That right there is who God is. Close to the discouraged, close to the weary, close to the lonely, close to those who walk through December with a heaviness that they don't know how to explain. Not, you know, the Lord is close to those who have it all together. Not the Lord is close to those with the cheerful Christmas cards. Not the Lord is close to the ones who aren't overwhelmed. He's close, it says, to the brokenhearted. So if that's you this season, guess what? You're not disqualified. You're not disqualified from his presence. You are exactly the person that he draws near to. God sees us and he moves towards us. So presence over performance is God's way. What do I mean by that? The world tells us to what? Pull it together. Get yourself together. Put on a brave face. Fake it till you make it, right? Religion does that too. It teaches us to climb towards God, but a relationship with God is the opposite. You see that? It says you couldn't climb high enough, so what did he do? I climbed down. Every other religion is humanity reaching up, but a relationship with God is him reaching down. He doesn't require your perfection, just your presence. He doesn't ask for your performance, just your heart. He doesn't say, come to me when you're better. He says, I'm coming all this way because I love you right now, right where you're at. That's the gospel. That's Christmas. That is Emmanuel, God with us. Not God above us, not God beyond us, God with us. Somebody commented on one of our social media posts about our favorite Christmas songs. I think it might have been Elder Sandra. We were talking about our favorite Christmas songs, and she said, I think it was you, some of my favorite songs are any of the Emmanuel ones. I love that. I love that because that's really at the heart of what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel, God with us. So let me talk to our hearts just for a moment. You don't have to pretend this year. Not with God, not here, not now. You don't have to pretend. If God came all of this way to be with you, then we can take a step towards him, right? So here's just three relational rhythms that I want to talk, not religious tasks, but relational rhythms that help us experience the presence of Emmanuel, the God that is with us. If he's really God with us, then let us move towards that, right? So number one, host prayer. Host prayer. Tell God the truth that you've been avoiding. We are so trained, many of us, to say polite prayers. I don't know where that practice originated or why, but polite prayers that keep everything neat, polite prayers that kind of maintain the illusion that we're just doing fine, we're doing fine, we're doing fine with Jesus. But the God who came all this way is not asking for politeness, he's asking for your presence. So stop praying polite prayers and start telling God the truth. So here's what I mean by hosting prayer. You know that room in your heart that maybe you've blocked off because it's the place that hurts so bad? Invite him into that room. Invite him into that room and then set up a chair, get on the counselor couch, and let the wonderful counselor do his work. Invite him in. Invite him into that place. Tell him what's really going on. Unedited, anybody? Unfiltered, anybody? Pat, Jim? And unpolished. And maybe you need to let the ugly cry out. There was a season, at that point, it was affecting everything. It was affecting our joy. It was affecting our hope. It was affecting my sense of just being normal. And one night, I was over in that room, the old youth room. I finished teaching, and I felt like everything that I said was just falling flat. I came home just feeling like a complete fraud. And I remember just sitting on the couch, and I felt, I felt hopeless. I felt empty. I felt done. Some of those familiar feelings that we're talking about. And the worst part, here's the worst part. Pastor Sean, I'm sitting on that couch, and it just seemed like nothing in Scripture was speaking to me in that moment. I was pulling out the Scripture. No verse was breaking through. I was battle weary, and I was worn. I was hurting, and I was broken. We both were. And that night, I just remember we came home after youth group. We sat on the couch, and we just started crying. We wept. And I did the ugly cry. You know, the kind of cry that you can't control the how your face distorts because it hurts so bad. I was just wailing right there on the couch in the living room, and we cried until our words ran out. And then somewhere in that mess where I had got through, you know, the ugly part of it, I started just crying out to God. You ever hear that expression? Crying out to God. It wasn't a polished prayer. It was definitely not a pastoral prayer. It was a raw prayer because I was raw. And I told God exactly how I felt, and it wasn't pretty, it wasn't filtered. It was not the kind of prayer that you would expect to hear from my microphone. But it was honest. And you know what happened? I let it all out on the couch that night, and I'm telling you, in the middle of that pain and in the middle of all that ugliness and honesty, for the first time in months, I experienced peace. Not because the circumstances changed necessarily. Not peace because the grief magically disappeared, but it's the peace that passes understanding that Scripture talks about. And that night, God spoke very clearly to us, and he gave us a path towards healing that we didn't even know that we needed. And it didn't erase the grief, but it transformed it. There was a healing that happened after we just kind of let it all out. So if you understand what I'm saying, hosting prayer is where the pretending ends and where presence begins. Amen. Nick said this at our elder meeting this last time. He said, it just reminded us, blessed are those who mourn. Remember Jesus saying that? Blessed are those who mourn. These are his words. For they will be what? Comforted. I'll come back to that. There is a blessing in the process of mourning. Number two, invite his presence. Make space for God, for the God that comes near. One of the most overlooked truths in the Christian life is this. God is always present. He's always here, but he's not always invited. He stands. He's right there. He's willing. He's longing. He's waiting for the whisper from your heart. Jesus, come near. Sometimes we neglect even just the simplest prayer. This was the chorus, those of us that were on the outreach to Denver a few years ago. It just kind of sort of became a mini anthem for our trip when we were there. For the very first night, we had this group that were set up in Judas and Candace's living room. I was finishing up the song Waymaker. We're just kind of having a community worship time during our first night there. And I just started singing, lean in just a little bit closer. lean in just a little bit closer. Lean in just a little bit closer to your love. Inviting his presence is not it's not dramatic or mystical. It's just a simple, quiet, relational response. Come. Come into that room that I have sealed off in my heart. And if we really do have a good, good Father that we sing about, doesn't it make sense to invite him in? Here's what it sounds like. If you just want some simple prayers, if you want to put words to it. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I know you're here, but I'm welcoming you into every part of who I am. I'm welcoming you here right now. He's already there, but I'm welcoming you into the brokenness. I'm welcoming you into the hurt. Maybe it's just this. Jesus, walk with me today. I'm starting my day praying my prayer. Jesus, be with me. Would you be with me? How about, Father, sit with me in this, because all I can do is sit right now. My legs feel like they don't have strength to stand. Would you sit with me in this? You want some breakthrough prayers? There you go. And you can do that in the car, you can do that in the kitchen, you can do that on the couch where you just cried out an ugly prayer. You can do it at bedtime, you can do it at grief, you can do it in celebration. And invitation, you know what that does? It creates connection. And space, if you give space for that, it creates encounter. And every time that you invite him in, every single time, I try to remind people of this, you know, even the simplest prayers, he's a God that responds. Maybe not the way we think, but he hears and he responds. And here's the promise. Here's the promise. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. He never ignores an invitation. When you open space for him, he fills it. When you ask him to be near, he draws near. And when you welcome him, he responds with peace, with clarity, with comfort. He's the comforter, with assurance. So inviting his presence turns Emmanuel from this theological concept and Christmas carol into a living experience, an encounter with the living God. Amen? Last thing, look for God's nearness. Train your eyes to see the God who came all this way. So what does that look like? You know, most believers, we intellectually believe God can be near, but we struggle to believe he's actually near them. Why? Because we look for God in the dramatic. You know, but the God of Christmas, was he shows up in the quiet, in the ordinary. And so over these past months, you know, recovering from Achilles' heel, by the way, my Christmas gift this year is the PT says I should be out of the boot on Christmas week. Yay! But I've had a few quiet moments, right? I had a week of forced bed rest. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, when we take the time and we slow down, God shows up, not in thunder, not necessarily in visions, not in dramatic revelations, but in the love and the faithfulness of my bride, right? Who's been taking care of me in this season so well, who refuses to quit caring for me because she's amazing day after day. She's just been so unbelievable and kind. I don't even have words. But God has spoken to me so deeply, just even through her. And it's in the care by my own kids who just step up, you know, when I literally couldn't step, you know? And it's just in the small moments of laughter and in prayers, you know, kind of that are whispered through the pain and in unexpected gratitude. And, you know, just in the stillness of knowing that even when I couldn't move forward, God, you know, was still coming close. That's who he is. He's still wanting an encounter with us. So that's Emmanuel. That's God who comes all this way. That's the nearness of Jesus in the ordinary. So the manger itself kind of it tells us of, you know, that God's presence often shows up in quiet places. It does. Unnoticed by the crowds, but unmistakable to those who are paying attention, to who are present, right? So look for him. Revelation, right? Look, behold. Look for him in conversations. Look for him in scripture. Look for him in worship. Look for him in the quiet moments. Look for him in the people who refuse to let you walk alone. He's already closer than you think. This is who we are as a church, right? We don't put pressure. We don't do pretending. We don't do, you know, you must be joyful to belong. It's not what we do. We're present. That's what the church is, shouldering each other's burdens, carrying each other, right? We're present. We show compassion. We are people who show up. That's the church. That's a function of the church. Just like Lauren's dad saw her and came all that way. God does that for us, and now we get to do that for one another. That's the church right there. So this Christmas and beyond, guess what? Destiny becomes, we have the opportunity to become a house of presence. Because Emmanuel has lived through us. The message of Christmas is this: God didn't wait for us to figure it all out. He didn't wait for us to stop pretending. He traveled all this way because he loves us. As we, just to prepare to respond and close this morning, I just want to slow us down for one more moment again and take us back to that song that Cole sang this morning. It's a church that, it's a song that the church has been singing for hundreds of years. It's a Christmas song, but if you listen to the lyrics, it's not a shiny one. It's not a jingle. If you really listen to the lyrics, it's not just background music for shopping. It's really a cry. And I just want to slow down and I want to close with the words. Just listen to this. Oh come, Emmanuel, right? That's that right there. It's not a polished prayer. It's not a confident declaration. What this is a plea. It's humanity saying, God, please come, right? It's those prayers. Please don't stay far away. Please come. Please don't leave us alone in this. It's the cry of people who are tired of pretending they're fine. And it's sometimes what it is this. It's us forgetting in our covenant that we're walking in that he's already here. Oh come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive Israel. A ransom is paid when somebody is trapped and they can't free themselves, right? So the lion is saying, we're stuck. We're overwhelmed. We're carrying things that we don't know how to escape. So, you know, all the things that we've been talking about, fear, loneliness, anxiety, exhaustion, it's the honest confession. I can't fix this on my own. I feel like I'm a captive here. Ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. That one hits hard. It's saying we're grieving. We're displaced. We feel like we don't belong. We feel far from home. And that's not just ancient language. That's modern life. This is the cubicle where someone's dad is gone. It's the couch where the tears don't stop. It's the hospital room. It's the holiday table with an empty chair, right? Until the Son of God appears. That's the hope. But it's not fake hope. It's not us saying everything is fine while there's a burning, you know, dumpster fire in the background. It's saying we're waiting, but we're still believing. It's the belief that God doesn't ignore suffering, that he enters it. And then we get to the chorus. Rejoice. Rejoice. That's not false joy. It's not forced joy. It's not pretending. This is maybe what I'd call a defiant hope. You ever sing that way when you're in worship? An unexpected hope, like a never-ending hope that he is my anchor. He is the firm foundation. And I know it because he's been the same yesterday and forever. And so I can count on this. It's the joy that rises up that doesn't make sense in the middle of sorrow, not after it's resolved. Emmanuel shall come to thee. Not might come, not someday, not if you're good enough, shall come. God will come near. God does close the distance. God who has come all this way. And then it says, oh Israel. Here's the beautiful part. This isn't just for ancient Israel. This is for anyone who feels weary and anyone who feels lonely and anyone who feels overwhelmed. Anyone who's been pretending that they're okay. And I don't know, I'm just gonna be the one to confess. I have pretended that I'm okay. This is God saying, I came all this way for you. So as we just move into to worship and prayer, here's the invitation. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to have the right words. They can be unpolished. You don't have to explain everything. You can simply echo the ancient prayer of the church. Oh, come, Emmanuel. God with us. And trust that the God who came once is still coming close now. So church, if you're carrying something heavy, hear me. If this season has been harder than maybe you expected, and if you're tired of pretending, this is your moment to stop striving and just start receiving. Thank you that you are God with us. Thank you that you are God here right now. Thank you that you are a wonderful counselor. There's so many moments in life where, Lord, I just want to admit that I can't carry it all. And I wasn't meant to. And so I want to remind myself this morning and others in this room that you don't have to. There's a cross that you can leave your burdens and your baggage at the cross. And you can lean in a little bit closer to the Father God who said that he will never leave or forsake you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Thank you that you are the kind of God that is with us. Thank you that you are the kind of God, you come to be our rescue. God, you come to care for us. And more than anything, you'd come to be with us. God with us. Thank you for your presence. The presence, your presence is what it's all about. And so, Lord, I pray that our prayers, even every single day, Lord, would be, God be with me. Help me just to lean in a little bit closer to your love. Jesus, would you walk with me? Holy Spirit, would you be my comforter? Father God, would you sit with me? And God, in the areas where I'm broken, Lord, I know that you're the redeeming God and the restoring God, and really the only one who can make me whole. So we come to you. And not only do we say with our mouths and believe that you are God with us, but we invite you in. So this morning, can we just do that even as we close? Maybe some of us are here this morning, and as you're hearing this message this morning, you know that there's rooms. I just want to remind you of what Nick reminded me, that we're blessed when we mourn. There's a blessing that can come with the ugly cry. And so, God, our prayer is this morning that we would invite you into every place, even in our brokenness, as you are the God that heals. You are the God that restores. And I know that when I can't walk on my own, when everything feels overwhelming, when I can't make the box of macaroni and cheese, you're the God who sees it all and you still come near. So thank you, God, for loving us as we are. May we just be a church that invites your presence. Anybody say amen to that? Amen.